tonight, it simply says to stand for Jesus. And church, it's time for us to stand up and speak up and stand on the authority of God's word. And may we continue to do that. The song simply says, stand for Jesus.
Stand for Jesus, don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus, claim his name. For he loved you on a rugged cross, with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus, he's standing by your side.
Life of holiness, defy the world's embrace,
to count all gain as loss for the glory of the cross, a city on a hill for everyone to see. Stand for Jesus, don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus, claim his name. Loved you on a rugged cross, with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus, he's standing by your side. Stand for Jesus, don't be ashamed. Stand for Jesus, claim his name. For he loved you on a rugged cross, with arms held open wide. Stand for Jesus, he's standing by your side.
Stand up for Jesus, he's so true. Held open wide. Stand for Jesus, he's standing by your side. Stand for Jesus, he's standing by your side. Stand for Jesus. Please
take your Bibles tonight. We'll go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. The message entitled, Are You Standing Your Ground on the Authority of God's Word? Are you standing your ground on the authority of God's Word? And you must answer that question tonight. Are you going to stand your ground? As you look around and as you watch, see what's going on around us, as you see and watch the 24-hour news networks, and you turn on your evening news in the local television stations in this area. Every time you watch that news, they have such wonderful information, such wonderful news to share with us, don't they? Quite frankly, it's rather discouraging, is it not, to see what is happening, see what's going on in our culture? Well, I believe Paul was writing Timothy here in this chapter as he deals with apostasy and what's happening and what's going on. And the verse number 14, there's the word but there, and he tells Timothy, verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for truth. Thank you for salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help this body of believers here to be faithful, to continue, to remain, to abide in the things which they have learned in the Word of God. No matter what's going on around them, may we have enough courage to stand for Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you've seen the two boys over here trying to stand, get along, and sing, and do their thing up here. My friend, we're just a family. That's all we are. And three generations up here passing our faith down to the next generation. Well, these boys have been given some instructions before they got up here. If not, we don't know what would go on. Enough things go on with the instructions, but you never know what's going to happen with a four-year-old and a two-year-old up here. Well, they're given some instructions. They're supposed to stand on a piece of tape that was not here before we got here. But their father has instructed them and placed the tape down. Stand on the tape. This is your tape. Stand right here. Remain here while we're singing. And so they can be a part of what we're doing. And so Titus, this was before, this was about a couple years ago. It was a Sunday morning. He was standing on his tape. We were in North Ridgeville, Ohio. It's close to Cleveland, Ohio, up by Lake Erie. And we're singing Sunday morning in a stage very similar to this, singing our first song. And Titus, as a two-year-old, gets an idea. My friend, when a boy gets an idea, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. Well, he had an idea. So he reached down, and he picks up the tape. We're singing along and trying to sing and do our thing. And then he proceeds, while we're singing, to wander down a couple steps. And he goes over here, and then he doesn't hang on to the tape. He places the tape down on the step. Then he proceeds to stand on top of the tape. Because now he can say, Daddy, I'm standing on the... Perfect logic, isn't it? I mean, it's perfect logical, right? It works, right? But he's just moved the tape. I told him that morning, I said, son, you preached a powerful message. You preached a powerful message. You see, my friend, the tape moved. My friend, not only out in our culture, but in our churches today, the tape is moving so the church can fit better into the culture. My friend, we cannot do that and stand on the authority of God's word. Thank you, Titus. We must come back to the authority of God's word. We must boldly stand upon the authority of God's word. Here in this passage, in chapter number 3, as you look through it, that word, by the way, continue. The Greek word means to abide, to remain. He says there, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Notice who he learned them from. You know from the first chapter there, he learned it from his grandmother and his mother and his family there, which is a biblical principle. God established the institution of the home and then gave instruction for the parents to teach their children in things of the Lord. Notice in verse number 15, that is from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. How is a child going to know the Holy Scripture? The parents are going to have to teach them. They're not going to learn it wherever they're going. Parents, your responsibility. Grandparents, you have had to take up the baton and even help out with that process and should continue to help out with that process to encourage your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to continue that process of sharing the faith. Because what did he learn? He learned the Holy Scriptures. They're holy. There's no error. There's no mistakes. Why? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. My friend, we must continue. We must remain. We must abide in the Word of God. If you look at the beginning of chapter number 3, you see that first verse, which you're very familiar with. This know also that in the last days, perilous times. That word perilous means fierce or ferocious times. It gets pretty fierce and ferocious out there anymore, does it not? You don't know who's next going to be with a gun and shooting or whatever is going to happen or what's going to take place. And then the list is given, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, the social issue of today, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul, in verse number 10, tells how he confronts this apostasy. He is encouraging us here. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, his teaching, what he has been saying, manner of life, his purpose, his faith, his long-suffering, his charity, his patience. Notice, persecutions, afflictions, what? Which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but, underline it, church. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's an encouragement to us tonight. No matter what you're going to go through, no matter what we're going to face, God will never let us down. He is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. But verse number 12, yea, notice this, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. A couple challenges here. Number one, are you living godly? Are you living godly? Are you living a godly life? Or have you moved the tape so that you fit in a little bit better in the culture and those who you rub shoulders with? That's the temptation, is to move and just accept what everybody is saying. My friend, it's not time to accept it. It's time to stand up and speak up, because thus saith the Lord. Because we stand on the authority of God's word. And it says, shall suffer persecution. My friend, it's happening in the day and age we're in. It's happening. You have those bakers out in Oregon, Aaron and Melissa Klein, who said they would not make a cake and use their artistic ability because it was against their Bible belief. What did they do? Oh, the neighborhood just loved them for that decision, did they not? No, they didn't. It's interesting to me, the word tolerance, how it's a one-sided street. Because they're very intolerant of what the Word of God says. Why? Because of Romans 1:18. They want to suppress that truth because they know there is a God and they don't want to be accountable to their God. They want to do whatever they want to do because of the lust of their own hearts. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Say, oh, you are a hateful person, preacher. My friend, I'm just telling you what God says. You're going to have to stand on what God says. That's what I believe. And I trust that's what you believe. May we have enough courage to stand on that. And now they've just come down in the last week. They've been fined $135,000. They've lost their business. They've lost all of that. And they've had to rework things, and now they've been fined $135,000. There's the lady up in Washington State who wouldn't make flowers and use her artistic ability for a homosexual wedding. Why? Because she's standing on the authority of the Word of God. My friend, these are the people that are fighting our battles for us right now. I trust you keeping them in prayer, because they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. My friend, we cannot fall asleep. It's time to wake up. It's time to stand up on the authority of the Word of God and speak up and say what we believe and why we believe it according to the Word of God. But then in verse 13 he tells us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then that encouragement. See, this world is not getting better, my friend. Not at all. It's getting worse and worse. But then he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. See, our society and our culture is taking you're seeing and witnessing probably the swiftest decline in our morality in our country today, in the world today, especially in our country. I mean, it is a rapid change that's taking place. What's happening out there in our culture? These two gentlemen right here, Lawrence Crouch and Richard Dawkins. Lawrence Crouch is a professor at Arizona State University. Richard Dawkins is a leading atheist over in England. They co-starred in the documentary, The Unbelievers, discussing their strategy for ridding the world of religion in general and Christianity in particular. They consider Christianity demeaning and wish to redesign society the way they want it. I know they were at Ohio State University. I know they were at universities all across this country showing this film. They want to get rid of Christians. They want to get rid of Christianity. They don't want anything to do with Christianity. How many of you watched the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy? Shame on you. The rest of you need to watch it. Why? Because you need to figure out what the worldview is out there. How can you go witness to somebody if you don't even know how they think and what's going on? My friend, you need to watch this so you understand the difference between the two worldviews. My friend, we don't live in a culture anymore where you can just go and preach Jesus to them, the power of the gospel and the hope of the gospel. We have got to get back to the beginning of the Word of God and preach the foundational knowledge of who God is. Because this world, this country doesn't know who God is anymore. We deal with young people all the time as we do Vacation Bible School. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't know who Adam and Eve are. They don't know what a Bible is. How are you going to just preach Jesus to them? My friend, the church, fundamental independence, have forgotten what the beginning says. And we've let all these other theologians say that about a gap theory and theistic evolution instead of standing on what the Word of God really says, that He created all things in 24-hour days 6,000 years ago. That's what we got to stand on. My friend, if you get rid of the beginning, you don't need a gospel in the New Testament. Are you with me? You go witness to somebody and you say you're a sinner. What's sin? Where are you going to go to explain sin? You got to go back to the beginning of the Word of God. My friend, there are teenagers on this side. There are teenagers on that side. Do you know the stats now? 60 to 70% of them, when they turn to their 20s, are no longer coming to church anymore. We know. We get in the churches all over the country. We see it. They're not in church anymore. This is what it says. Church, as teens, disengaged, no longer coming to church. By the way, there's new stats coming out that those that are in their 20s, they'll accept homosexual marriage, they'll accept abortion, that is more acceptable to them. Why have they come to these decisions? Why have they've made this decision to leave the church? This is it. Those who no longer believe that all the accounts of history in the Bible are true. When did these young people first have their doubts? 40% first had their doubts in middle school, 5th, 6th, and 7th grade. 44% first had their doubts in high school. In high school, only 11% had their doubts in college. You see, my friend, they're still in your house. They're still in your home. And what are they doubting? They're doubting whether this is the Word of God. My friend, they're hearing, 90% of them go to a public school. They're hearing about millions and billions of years. They're not hearing that God is the creator of all things. And my friend, we bring them to church and we just teach them stories instead of teaching them what God said in the beginning, that He's the creator of all things, and explain to them. Have you ever taught a lesson about dinosaurs to them? It'd be a good idea to tell them what the Bible says about dinosaurs. Well, I've never done that in church before. Well, you better, because they're going to school and they're learning all kinds of apologetics in school. And they're teaching it over and over and over again. And we bring them to church and we just teach them stories. My friend, it's time for the church to wake up. We got to have answers for these kids, because if we don't give them answers, they're going to be gone. That's our culture. Bill Nye the Science Guy, that debate. These three, Lawrence Crouch, Richard Dawkins, Bill Nye the Science Guy, they say if you teach your children about heaven, about hell, and God created all things in 24-hour days 6,000 years ago, you are a child abuser. I heard them say it. That's what they call you, a child abuser. My friend, are you going to stand on the authority of God's Word? Are you going to continue to teach your children the truth? We must. We must not deny the Word of God. This lady here, Melissa Harris Perry, teacher at Tulane University, she talks about abortions. Life's beginning depends on the feeling of the parents and not science. So in other words, if it's just a blob, you know, you just get rid of it. By the way, that's perfectly logical in the worldview of evolution and so forth. It's perfectly logical. But when the child is born, listen to this. Children don't belong to the parents, but to the whole communities. All of a sudden, it's everybody else's decision now what they do with the child. That's the philosophy out there. This lady, in 2012, a lesbian lady made this statement about homosexual marriage. In a speech that went viral, the gay community's agenda is not to gain the right to marry, but to abolish marriage in the traditional family for everyone. That's the agenda. They're just not honest about it. That is the agenda. You say, preacher, well, that's what's happening out there. But what about our churches? Our churches are so strong today. This is in my home state in Dayton, Ohio. They were having a conference about origins, the beginning of life, where we came from, where we're going, how we got here. The conference has one goal, to offer alternative truth claims to those that are presented by the Creation Museum and other advocates of a literal six-day creation of the earth. Said Rodney Kennedy, lead pastor of the First Baptist Church, West Monument Avenue in Dayton. Science has taught us that the universe is about 14 billion years old and that the best available explanation for the beginning is the Big Bang. There's nothing in Scripture to refute the Big Bang. God created the heavens and the earth, and I believe she took her sweet time doing it. This is a pastor of a church. No wonder the young people don't believe what the Word of God says. My friend there, I trust you have found many errors with this statement that he has made. The first sentence says, to offer alternative truth claims. Can I tell you tonight, there are no alternative truth claims besides what the Word of God says. And we must stand boldly upon it. And God created all things in six 24-hour days, 6,000 years ago, according to what God said. He goes on to say, science has taught us that the universe is about 14 billion years old. Scientists have told us the universe is 14 billion years old, but there is no evidence to say that it is 14 billion years old. There is no scientific evidence. There's a DVD back there I want you to get. If you have grandchildren, you need to get this for your grandchildren. Ray Comfort did it. It says Evolution versus God. What is it? They went to UCLA, USC. Ask them a question. The professor's a question. Give me one. Give me one example of Darwinian evolution. What's that? Darwinian evolution? It's a change of kinds. Kinds is a Bible word. It's in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter number 6. Kinds. Cat kind, dog kind, monkeys, human beings. That's what they want to get you to think, to change. Give me one example of a change of kinds. So they ask him. And they would give the response of the finches there on the Galapagos Islands. You've heard of them, right? And the beaks changed. My friend, they're still birds. They didn't change. They'll talk about a stickleback fish. It's still a fish. It didn't change. God, in the DNA, has programmed them to adapt. We as Christians do believe in natural selection. We do believe that is not evolution. God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, programmed them, and it explains to us very clearly how Noah got all the animals aboard the ark. When you talk about natural selection, animals and the kinds and being able to... See, Noah just took two of each kind is what the Bible says. He didn't take, for instance, two lions, two cheetahs, two house cats, two jaguars. No, he took two of the cat kind because in God's wisdom, that DNA was already programmed into that kind. These are answers you as parents need to be teaching your children. That way, this makes perfect sense. Is a logical defense for your faith, why you believe what you believe. Oh, my friend, we must have answers. Our churches, even pastors, there's even seminaries across in the broad spectrum of Christianity who no longer believe that Adam and Eve are literal historical human beings. And these are going to be the next preachers in the churches. What are the kids going to believe? My friend, when you eliminate the beginning, you don't need the gospel. Because who becomes God? I, you, determine what's right and wrong. It's what it says there in Judges. Man did what was right in their own eyes. That's where we're at, our own eyes. A verse in Psalm chapter 11, verse number 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, as we were coming out to Texas a couple weeks ago, we stopped by the Mississippi River there in Vicksburg, Mississippi. My wife and I were taking a walk one morning, and we went down close to the river there where there was a park, and the playground was there, and it had nice artificial turf there, and the slides and the swings and everything for children. And we noticed, though, that some of it was roped off. I said, what's going on over there? So we went over to look, and here the ground had dropped 3 or 4 feet down. And what had happened? What had happened, as the river turned the corner there in the bend, it would always come over and it would start washing away that foundation of that riverbank until the top finally dropped 3 or 4 feet because the foundation had been washed away. My friend, that's what's happening over and over again. You, as a parent, must reestablish that foundation. You must reestablish that. This that you hold in your hand tonight is the history book of the universe that God has given to us. Right here. It is the history book of the universe. In this book, God has revealed his wonderful plan. And starting at the beginning and understanding the big picture from the beginning, from the creation, from the corruption, from the catastrophe, and God's judgment, and on it goes down through the scriptures, and understand the big picture of how it all fits together. And we've missed that a lot of times in our churches. And understand all those wonderful things that God has made and understand why God has given it to us. We know there is a God, Romans chapter 1. Everybody knows there is a God. They're without excuse, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, 21. But they make a choice in verse 21. They decide that there is no God. Think about it. Think about an atheist. Why is he going around trying to convince other people that they're that trying to convince somebody else in something he doesn't even believe in, that there isn't there. Because of Romans 1:18, because he's guilty in his own heart. Because he knows there is a God. He's suppressing the truth. He's holding it down. He doesn't want anything to do with it. And then we know there is a God, God's general revelation. And then we must teach him that there is one God. He's the creator of all things. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere present. Yahweh, the self-existent, eternal God, has always been and always will be the great I Am. And then he provided us a Redeemer in Jesus Christ. He's our Redeemer. He came to this earth. He has already redeemed the world of every sin. He's redeemed everybody here tonight in the world. But people haven't been reconciled to him. Sin has already been paid for. Your sin debt has already been paid for. My friend, Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man because sin entered this world by the first man, Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into this world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. My friend, sin entered this world through a man, but life came by the God-man, and that is Jesus Christ. And my friend, we must understand that foundational truth. We must understand how sin entered this world. Sorry about that. It's talking to us a little bit. It'll be okay. But we must understand that truth. We must understand the foundational knowledge so we can teach it to our children. And so they can have a firm, logical defense for why we believe what we believe. Oh, my friend, we must come back to that truth. Why do we have the Word of God? God has revealed himself through the Holy Scriptures. We have it for that spiritual birth. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God has given us the Word of God for our spiritual maturity in those verses we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Turn with me, though, as we finish up to 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse number 15. It says, Peter's writing here and he witnesses a wonderful event in history, the transfiguration. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but I don't know what it is. Just causing fits here. But see, he was an eyewitness. That's what it says there in verse number 18. He was an eyewitness of this. He saw it. Isn't it? Have you ever eyewitnessed something? You saw it, and then you could testify about it? Right, just turn it off, and I'll go to this one right here. And I'll testify. You can testify about it, what you saw and what you've seen. And then you're an eyewitness count. So that's what a prosecutor wants. He wants an eyewitness. But notice something here very important. Notice verse number 19. My friend, tonight you have something even better. You have something even better. We have also, underline it, Christian, a more sure word of prophecy. What is it? It's the Word of God you're holding in your laps tonight. A more sure word than an eyewitness, somebody that saw it. Why? Because it was authored by God Almighty. Whereunto ye do well, O church, if you take heed, You listen to it. You obey it. See, my friend, that's what we need to do. We need to continue to believe and obey the Word of God. Continue to believe and obey the Word of God. Notice what it says, though. Look at the picture here. As to a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. I don't know about you, but I don't know, Gary, when Mama was, when she told me, she says, you need more light when you read. You need more light when you read, you know. And she'd always try to turn a light on to help so you'd have more light when you read. I wish I'd have listened to her back then. Because you know what? I need more light when I read now. Anybody, can you understand? How many of you need more light when you read now, yeah? You get older young people, listen to the older people. You need more light when you read. You can see better. That's how it is. But my friend, that's what it says there in Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have a more sure word. And we must boldly stand upon it. If you miss anything else tonight, in your life, this should be your starting point. A lot of people like to compartmentalize their lives. They have their spiritual section. They have their social section of their life. Their financial, their political, their marital. But most, what usually happens is they only use the Bible for their spiritual decisions that they make. But my friend, the Bible is where Christians should start. For our social, our financial, our marital, for our political decisions that we make. I truly believe if Christians would have voted biblically, we would not be in the mess we are today. But we've forsaken God's truth in favor of some kind of party. My friend, we must come back to the Word of God. This is our starting point, and we must start with the Word of God. Albert Mohler was writing an article about homosexual marriage. He says this, we now face no shortage of argument for capitulation, but abandoning the truth of God's word is not an option. Abandoning the truth of God's word is not an option. We deny the gospel if we deny the sinfulness of sin. That sin, every sin, and our sin. My friend, sin is sin according to what thus saith the Lord says. And that's what we must call it. My question for you tonight, are you going to stand on the authority of God's word or are you going to move the tape to fit into the culture? Daniel Webster said this. He said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering and to prosper. But if we and our posterity neglect its instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. Wow, what a wise man that is. That was a statement, and my friend, we're witnessing it today. But we, as a body of believers, must not deny the authority of God's word. Will you, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, to stand boldly, have an apologetic answer, a defense, a Bible answer for why you believe what you believe, but we must do it with meekness and fear. That's our attitude, but we must stand upon the Word of God. Are you going to stand for Jesus? Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the simplicity yet the power of the Word of God. Thank you for this church here. Lord, I pray for every member, every person here tonight. Lord, may we know what the Word of God says, and may we boldly stand upon it. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, have you trusted? Have you believed that Jesus is God's Son and that He died on the cross for your sins? Or have you just joined the church, played a game, fooled everybody else? My friend, that's my concern with a lot of folks today. My friend, if you truly believe, there would be a change in your life. This Holy Scripture would be your starting point. Have you truly believed in the one true God? My friend, make sure tonight. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You lift your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved tonight. I'm born again. But I want to make sure tonight. Christian, just in the quietness of this moment, Would you make a commitment to God for me tonight? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand that you made the commitment. It's between you and God. Say, God, the best of my ability, I want to stand on the authority of your word, have Bible answers for why I believe what I believe, and I want to stand on the authority of the word of God. You make that commitment tonight, would you? Father, we love you. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the word of God. Seal the decisions in our heart. May we go from this place encouraged, build up in the faith, and building that foundation that we can firmly stand on. That's what the righteous can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.